Welcome back to the Aryas Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and today we will be concluding Tractate Aryas, and we will be then beginning Tractate Zvachim. Mishnah Ches of Perek Gimel, the last Mishnah in Maseches Aryas, tells us, Kohen Kodem LeLevi, a priest takes priority over a Levite. Levi Yisrael, a Levite has priority over an Israelite. Yisrael LeMamzer, a Yisrael has priority over a Mamzer. Mamzer is normally translated as a bastard, but that's not really the intention of it. Mamzer is not someone whose parents aren't married, which is how we would normally translate bastard. A Mamzer is the product of an incestuous or an adulterous relationship. So there's that spiritual defect. Mamzer l'nasin, and a Mamzer has priority over a Gibeonite. That's the tribe that came from the Canaanite nations, and they told Yehoshua that they were some other people altogether and made a pact with him. And when their subterfuge became apparent, he cursed them that they should be the water carriers and the wood choppers for the temple, so that we have a pact with them, even though it was forged under duress, and they are in this quasi-Jewish status. Unasin Lager, and the Nasinim have priority over converts. Uger le'eved meshuchrar, and a convert has priority over a freed slave. Amosai, when is this? Bizman shekulan shavim. This is only in the case when all of them are of equal stature. Aval im haya mamzer tamid chacham v'kohen gadol am ha'aretz. But even if a mamzer is a great scholar, and the high priest is an ignoramus, then mamzer tamid chacham kodim l'kohen gadol am ha'aretz. Then a mamzer who is a scholar would have priority before a high priest who is ignorant. Let us look in the Bartnuro. Levi kodem li Yisrael, a Levite has priority over an Israelite. Dichsiv, because the Torah tells us, Vahes ha'hi hivdil Hashem es shevet ha'levi mitoch b'nei Yisrael. So the Torah tells us that God separated the tribe of Levi from the rest of the nation. So he put them on a different status than everyone else. Yisrael kodem l'mamzer, a regular Jew has priority over a mamzer, ha-miyuchas v'ha-lav-miyuchas, because one has a pedigree and the other one does not have a pedigree. Mamzer kodem l'nasin, a mamzer comes before a nasin, zeba mitipa kashera v'zeba mitipa psula, because one came from a fit drop and one came from an unfit drop. Nasin kodem l'ger, a nasin comes before a convert. Ze gidali manu b'kedusha, because the nasin was raised among us in holiness. Ve'ze lo gidali manu b'kedusha, and the other was not raised among us in holiness. So for whatever defects the nasinim brought when they tricked their way into the nation, the reality is that they are raising their children among the nation in holiness. Ger kodem l'eved, and a convert comes before a freed slave. Zelo hayi bechla aror, because the convert was never in the category of cursed, v'ze hayi bechla aror, and the slave was in the category of cursed, referring, of course, to the curse that Canaan's descendants would be slaves. And that's in Parshas Noach. Finally, Mamzer Tamid Chacham, Kodem L'Kohen Gadol Am Ha'aretz, a Mamzer who's a great scholar would come before a high priest who is ignorant, Dichsiv, because the Torah tells us, or actually Bishalei tells us, Yikarahi mipninim, more precious than pearls. And the word pninim can also refer to insides. Yikarahi mikohen gadol, more precious than the kohen gadol, shenichnas lifneu lifnim, who goes all the way inside into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now you might be asking, how is it possible that the kohen gadol could be an ignoramus? That could just be strictly hypothetical or for academic purposes, but in fact, the Tosfos Yontif explains. It says here, Bizman bayis sheni, so in the time of the Second Temple, they didn't really follow the rule of appointing the greatest of among the Kohen to the position. The thing had become politicized, and the secular authorities were getting involved with putting people there, so it was no longer necessarily the greatest in terms of wisdom. So unfortunately, the office lost a lot of its prestige. All right, that is the end of the Mishnah, the end of the Perek, and the end of the Masechta. It's also the end of the Seder. That is the end of Seder Nezikin. So thank you for joining us, and now stay tuned for Rabbi Akiva Tendler, who will begin with the first Mishnah in Maseches Zvachim.
Today we are starting Maseches Zvachim, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. The Mishnah says, Kol hasvachim shenizbechu shelo lishma, all karbanos that were shechted shelo lishma, meaning you shechted a karban ola, for example, l'shem a karban shlamim. K'sherim, they are kosher, and the rabbi explains, it means it's kosher to continue the service of that animal, however, elish lo ola l'baylon l'shem chayva, however, the one who has made the neder that he's going to bring this karban will now have to bring another karban. The Rav explains, because we learn out from the pasuk of Maitzeis Vesecha Tishmar Ve'asisa Kasher Nadarit Al Hashem Elokecha, meaning that only if one fulfills and actually brings the karban for what he made the vow, then he is yotzei his obligation. However, if it was brought for another purpose, then although it is kasher and may continue to be brought as in service, he is not yotzei his chiyuv. The exceptions to this are Chutz Min HaPesach, excluding a karban Pesach, because we have a special pasuk there that says that it must be done lishma, umin hachatas, and this also excludes the carbon chatas, because there too we have a verse that says it must be done lishma. Now the Mishnah qualifies this by saying, ha-pesach bismano, a pesach is only puzzle, and the owner is not yotze his chiyuv, if it's done shelo lishma bismano. However, if it's done shelo lishma before Pesach, not when it's the right time to bring the carbon Pesach, then the halacha is that it has the status of a shlamim and would be a kosher carbon shlamim. Ve'achatos, and a carbon chatos, that would be pasul, b'chol zman, any time of the year. Rabbi Eliezer says, apa asham. The same thing applies to an asham, that the formula will be, ha-pesach b'zman, or the Pesach, if it's done shelo lishma, will only be a problem if it's done on the erev Pesach, in the afternoon, ve'achatas ve'ha'asham b'chol zman, whereas achatas and an asham, those would be not accepted at any time. I'm Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Eliezer explains, why is it that I disagree with the Tanna Kamma? Because hachatas ba'al chet, chatas is brought for a sin, ve'ha'asham ba'al chet, and asham is brought for a sin. Ma chatas psula, shelo lishma, just like a chatas will become pasul shelo lishma, afa asham, pasul shelo lishmo, so to a asham, will be pasul shelo lishmo. Now it's important to know that the Rav explains that this discussion of doing a carbon shelo lishmo means you verbalized it and said I'm doing it for something else. For example, bringing a carbon oila and stating I'm bringing it for a shlamim. However, if one just thought in their mind that they're doing it for a different carbon, that would not make the carbon not valid and the owner would be yotze his chiyuv. And the reason is because there's a principle in Shlishma that Lishma in Kodshim has to be with verbalization and not simple thoughts of one's mind.